Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious days of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we prepare to open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the truth and the depth of this, your word, Heavenly Father, and to guide us along the way. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be talking to you this evening, starting with Galatians chapter 1. We went through the book of Ephesians, so now I think we'll be traveling through the book of Galatians. These are small books, but they're full of knowledge. They got a lot of good things in them. Same author as Ephesians is. As you know, this one apostle, Apostle Paul, wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He wrote most of it. A lot of people don't know how to divide the word of truth. They know the scripture tells them to rightly divide the word of truth, but most of your churches today are not teaching how that is done. When we talk about dividing the word of truth, what do we really mean? Getting a verse here, a verse there, a verse over here, a verse there? No. But that's what they're trying to do, to make it say what they want it to say instead of saying what God's got to say. To rightly divide the word of truth, when you look at this Bible, it's all God's word, but we have the Old Testament. That's Genesis to Malachi. The book of Malachi is a bridge between the Old Testament and the four Gospels. Now, even in the Bible, show you how long it's been going on, even in your Bible, when you come down to where the New Testament starts, they've got it starting at the beginning of Matthew. It don't. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels. The New Testament don't start until actually the book of Acts. And it goes to Revelation. And then you have the prophecy of the book of Revelation. You say, well, what's the difference? We don't live by the Old Testament. It's a good thing to study because it helps us build our faith. Those of that day and time didn't have what we've got today. They were strictly on their own. Most of them in the Old Testament really didn't understand what was right and what was wrong with God until Moses. And then God gave Moses the law. That is when man was told what he could do and couldn't do and how to worship, how to come together to worship. Then they didn't keep that for the most part, because it's the law, when you really get into it, to where you know how it was up to operate and all, there's a whole lot to keep in the law. You had all kinds of rituals and things you had to go through. And then to get your sins forgiven, you had to have sacrifices and things. And even different kind of sacrifices for some of the different sins. There were some sins that we would do and commit that it took animal or bulls and goats. Then there were some sins that was committed that took birds, doves, and pigeons. A lot of people don't know this because the church has quit preaching the God's Word or teaching you from God's Word. But they still was not walking right in the eyes of God. So he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to us. He's born just like we were. He was born flesh. The only difference was he didn't have no earthly dad. His dad was Almighty God, but he had a flesh earthly mother. But he was born flesh and blood, just like we are. His time here, he was on earth 33 and a half years. His ministry run 3.5 years. That's still not the New Testament. His ministry, he was preparing people for what was to come, which is the New Testament, which was for us to receive him as our Savior. You see, all the time he was here on earth, he hadn't yet paid for our sins. He hadn't paid the price for that. And those that were his disciples and all, he seen that they followed the law as much as it was possible. Because he was also preparing for what was coming. Now, it was during that time of Christ here on earth that water baptism began. Before that, they didn't even have water baptism under the law and on back. Now, even that changed. Because while Jesus was still here on earth preparing people for what was about to happen, they went by John's baptism, which they were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because they were being baptized by the deity. And the deity is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The three persons, but they're one. We'll get into that one these days, but not today. Now, then, after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, went back to heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit back to mankind to be and to dwell with us, each individually, who would accept him, that's when the New Testament started. That was on the day of Pentecost, when they was in that upper room. There wasn't just 12 in there, like a lot of them are teaching, still teaching today, that they did. There's only 12 filled with the Holy Spirit. No, Bible tells you. There was 120 in that upper room that day. And when the Holy Spirit came back, according to the scripture, says there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it set upon each one as a cloven tongue of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All 120, not 12. That started the New Testament. That also started the church age, which is what we are living now, and we are coming to the very end of that. There is nothing left in prophecy to be done before the Lord comes back for his church, as we call the rapture. We're just that close. Nothing left to be done. He can come at any moment. The only thing he's waiting for is for that last one to be saved that's going to be saved during this church age period. When he takes the church out, that's going to be it. For mankind's concern, those left back here are in a lot of trouble. They're going to have to finish going through tribulation. Let me tell you something, you ain't going to want to see that day. You will not believe what you'll be facing. Now, you can know and have an idea if you get your life straight and you get in with a place and a group that is teaching you the truth of that word, because it's all in there. It's us living our life to where we know, because we have read it and studied it. And the thing about it is, just reading and studying it is not enough. We have to bring it into our lives. That word. You bring that word into your life. And you bring it alive by the way you live it. Makes it the living word. And you're told, it tells you this in the Bible. I'm not telling you something that's not written that you can't find in the Bible. I don't do that. I don't tell you things, well, my opinion's this, my opinion's that. You know I don't, James. You've been listening to me a long time. My opinion don't mean a thing. It's what the Word says. And when he says do it, do it. When he said don't do it, then don't do it. It's just that simple. But it causes mankind to quit a lot of things he don't want to quit. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Just talking to you a little earlier. I was talking about you too. Wasn't nothing bad. Because I was telling him the It tricked it out for them, too. You stopped out front to smoke. I told him, I said, good Lord, we'll take that away from him one of these days.
Oh, he does. I wish he would.
He will one of these days. And I told him, I said, good Lord, we'll take that one of these days. Yeah, I preached years smoking. Not convicted about it at all. Till 1991. And he told me, I lit up a cigarette. It was the best cigarette I ever smoked. He said, that's your last. And it was. I had been smoking at that time 52 years.
Wow.
And when he said, that's your last one, I carried a pack in my pocket. I carried one in my lunchbox and one up over the sun visor in my vehicle.
Well, I'll tell you.
And never touched another.
I'm walking, living proof of what you're preaching right now. Those that's listening, it's not in his four walls. I am walking, living proof of what you're preaching right now. So you just keep preaching on. And you use me as an example, all you need to. That's what I'm here for.
No. Well, I'm using me and you both.
Yes, sir. I only thank you both.
No, I'm just telling the truth. Because he will. One of these days, he'll take it.
Yeah.
Is it actually a sin? No, I don't believe it's that. Now, I don't think that's the reason he took it. But it's not good for you. And I think that's why he took it from you. I had went through the hospitals for years with lung trouble where I had got phosphorus in it in the cervix. And I'd be in the hospital 4 months, home a month, back in the hospital 4 months. Now, I had enough days in the hospital with my lung to bill 5 years hospital time.
Ain't we taught that our body is a temple?
Yep.
Well,
our body is. It's a temple.
Do you light a fire in the room of your temple without a window or a chimney?
No, and he, and eventually, like I said, eventually, he takes us. And you know, this is the thing. There's a lot of things that we do that we don't think is wrong and may not actually be a sin, but it's something we shouldn't be doing, and he'll stop it. And there's a lot of things you can make wrong that's not wrong at all, that actually he wouldn't stop until you make it wrong. I love my coffee. You know that. I love my coffee. Nothing wrong with coffee. I can make it wrong because I can start telling people, well, you know, it's wrong to drink all this coffee. That just can't be good for you. Right then, I made it wrong for me. I better set it down and walk away because I made it wrong right then. For me. I didn't make it wrong for you, but I made it wrong for me. We have to be careful what we say. That's why we need our speech in the Word of Almighty God. There's a lot of things that man don't really look at. I'm going to give you a word. In fact, I'm going to give you two words. The first word is the word health. Nothing wrong with that word, is there? Nothing. It's in the Bible. And the Bible tells you, if you don't live right one of these days, you're going to hell. But yet, we can take that word, use it slang-wise, and make it wrong for us in the eyes of God. The second word is the word bitch. Nothing wrong with that word. It's in the Bible. Do you really know what bitch is? It's a female dog. But how's mankind use it? He made it. Mankind made the word wrong to be used in the way they use it. This is why we have to learn and why we have to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, because we make a lot of things wrong that are not wrong, but we make it wrong for ourselves and the way we use it. Now here in Galatians, starting here with chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul is letting us know right there in the first verse who wrote this letter of Galatians. We call them books today, books of the Bible. They're letters or epistles, which is what they was called back then. They weren't called letters, they was called epistles. But he starts out by letting them know who wrote it, Paul, and what he was. He was an apostle. And how did he get that way? Not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's why we're finding so much teaching going on today that is deceiving mankind, is because we've got too many men standing behind these pulpits on their way to hell and taking a congregation with them because they have never been called and appointed there by God. And that's the only one that needs to be back here, is one that has been called and appointed by God and taught by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He don't need a seminary out here to make a preacher out of you or a pastor. In fact, most would be a lot better off to come out of them places and quit spending that money. Save their money.
Amen.
Because they come out of there preaching about a Jesus they don't even know. You got no idea who he is. That's why some of our biggest churches, especially here in Meade County, that's got the most people in them, when you go and if you join that church and you go to the Lord, when they take you to baptize you, they take you in that water of dry center and bring you out of wedding because they baptized you wrong. And they baptized you without you knowing even what happened to you. When you do that, you haven't done nobody no good. For me to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I've done you no good. That's John's baptism. Oh, now that ain't no. Now, if they baptized that way in Jesus' day while he's here, it couldn't be wrong. Read your Bible. But when you study it long enough till you know that you've got it divided like you're supposed to divide it. When Jesus was here, walking here, yes, when they baptized, that's the way they baptized. That was John's baptism. But when he died, he's the one that bought and paid for you and I. And it was his blood that covers our sins. And from the beginning of the church age on, in the book of Acts, we're told, right in the second chapter, the book of Acts, second chapter, verse 38, when Peter come out of that upper room on the day of Pentecost, preached one of the greatest messages recorded in the Bible, At the end of it, he was talking to a crowd of about 5,000. At the end of it, they looked at him and they asked him and the ones that was with him, and asked them, said, "Brothers, what must we do? What must we do to be saved?" He told them, he said, "Go and repent, every one of you, and be baptized in Jesus' name." But you see now, with this church age, you and I, now we have to repent and ask God, let him know, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins." And he will. And then we are to put Christ on. We do that through baptism. I sat right here in a church here in Meek County and heard an evangelist of that denomination preach his whole message on how baptism was not important, had nothing to do with salvation. Right here in Meek County. And he was going to go from that church to another one, right here in Meek County. And that ain't what's wrote in the Bible. You can go to Peter, the book of Peter, 3rd chapter, and he tells you there, even now does baptism save you? Because you see, when you're being baptized, you're taking on yourself the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're being buried with him and raised with his resurrection, putting him on, because he is coming to live in you. When you are a born-again child of God, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in you. That's why we can do the things Jesus done. Think about it. "Oh, now, preacher, you know you can't do that. You can't heal the sick." Oh, yes, you can. God just spoke to me and done it. No, you don't do it. I don't do it. But when I do what God tells me, I become an instrument he uses. I lay my hands on me, and I do it. From my mouth, the voice comes out of my mouth, but it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's preaching. He's doing the speaking and flowing through my hands to you. You become healed. You say, "That man's a healer." No. That man's an instrument being used of God. That's why we're not seeing much of it done today. We don't have men with backbone enough to do it. I got to talk to church many times about the lady when I was working in the hospital. I've always worked because I've never took any money for preaching. I don't take pay for this. Everything that comes in here is used for the ministry and to help others. Nobody here in this ministry paid. And that's why we can go with this. Well, if I took it all, we wouldn't have to help nobody. We got churches sitting today that can't get a pastor because they don't pay enough. Because that denomination The pastors don't belong to God to start with. They want that church to make them rich. There's two in Shelbyville. One of them furnished a house, furnished a car, furnished the gas, paid all the electric bills, paid for all of their health care, paid for the telephone, and gave them $100,000 a year, and they couldn't get a pastor because it wasn't enough. And in the same town, there was another one. The only difference was it was $20,000 cheaper. It only paid $80,000. Neither one of them could get a preacher. Why would you want to sit under a man like that that's got to make it better than $100,000 a month? No. He ain't there for you. He's there for himself. Now, if a man's got a church and it's big enough, he's got enough congregation off that he can't work, then the church needs to take care of him. But the church is not there to make him a rich man. Wealthy. No. But his needs should be taken care of, yes. And we're told that in God's Word. I could have, when I got in this ministry, I could have said, well, you know, don't have much money, so let's say $7,500 a week. Wouldn't have been nothing wrong with that. But I never could figure out how I could charge God for what he had given to me. Now, how could I charge him back for it? And he's always seen that there's work there for me and that I was always capable of doing the work. And I was working in a hospital, had that woman patient who was under my care. She'd been in a coma 4 months. Every Sunday, her church, the ladies from her church, come over, gather around her bed. They always got there about the time I was supposed to be taking care of her. So I'd let them go ahead, and I'd go out in the hall. And one day one of them looked at me and said, we know you're a preacher. Why don't you ever stand there and pray with us? I said, because God ain't told me to. This pastor off that way. Yeah. One week they all got in there, had their prayer, and they sat out in the hall talking. I went back in to take care of her. Walked up side of the bed. The Lord spoke to me and said, now it's her day. I looked at her. I said, honey, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do. Doesn't happen. I said, hon, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do. Nothing happened except when the women out in the hall heard it, poked her head around the door and said, you know she can't hear you. I showed you she didn't know nothing about medicine either, because they do hear. In a coma, they can hear you. They can't answer you, but they can hear you. A lot of them can tell you what you said when they come out of that. But anyway, second time, nothing. I spoke to her a third time. Honey, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do. Her hand came across the bed, laid down on top of mine. Her eyes opened up. She looked up at me and said, pray for me. I said, yes, son, now I can. The next day, she was across the street in rehab, getting the strength back in her legs, where she had laid 4 months without ever using her legs.
But you've got to be one that when God tells you to do something, you don't wait. You don't do it on your time. He says, go do it. You do it then. You start on the way. He'll guide you. He'll guide you every step of the way. Also, lived through one of them, too. He was sending me from one place to another church.
gave me the route to get there and everything. And I was willing to go. It was two states away. I was living in Florida, and he was going to send me to Tennessee to a church. And I told him, yes, sir, I'll go. But now it's going to be a week. I was busy on my job. Lord, I got to finish this. And then I'll go. That's what I've done. I fired the right he gave me, pulled right up in front of the church. Pulled right up in her driveway. Just like he showed me how to get there. Their secretary lived just across the street. She seen me and I pulled in. She come across, asked me what she could do for me. And I told her, I said, well, I've been sent here because I understand you're in need of a preacher. She looked at me and she said, well, you're too late. We hired one 2 days ago. If I went on when God sent me, I'd have been where he wanted me. I wasn't. No telling where I'd have been today. And I know that. Well, he gave me another one. Yes. But it wasn't where he told me to go to start with.
We have to follow him and his ways. And that's where mankind fails. Because mankind, I've got my ways and what I think and what I want. And he puts that ahead of God. And that won't work in your life. It just don't work at all. And you may, when you first change your life, you may get away with it even for a while. But sooner or later, you're going to find out you've lost the whole lot. He took a business away from me over that deal. At that time, I owned the biggest house painting company on the west coast of Florida, working 28 men. And when I didn't go and do what he told me to do then, a couple of weeks later, he told me, he said, that business has got to go. Get rid of it. I wound up giving it away. And man, I give it 2 kept a week and sold it. We have to live by the word if we're going to make heaven our home. And I'm going to tell you something. And I'm talking to you all around the world. If you don't get your life straight, you ain't got long to get it done. I don't know the month, the week, or the year, but I know it's on us. And I know that it's about the next thing to happen, even according to prophecy. And there's nothing left that has to be done before the Lord is coming for his church. They talk about, you got so many out here and they want to argue about this and that and the other. You got some that says, well, he's coming for the church before tribulation. Some say, no, he ain't coming until after the tribulation. What's he saying? Neither one of them's right. So what's he saying? When you get into God's word and you go to figuring the time that he gives you to figure, it so happens that he's coming for the church about halfway through tribulation. Because when you figure the time he gives you, it comes to 3.5 years. Tribulation is 7 years long. And he tells you that after he raptures the church, there'll be 3.5 years left. These things are told to us. That's like he tells us. And I'm talked about all over the country because I don't believe in women preachers.
And I won't tell him your wife. We got them all over television. You got them all over this county, too. I know several of them. His word says no. That's why you don't hear. I don't care how long you go to these churches. There's some scriptures in this Bible that you'll never hear preached out of most of the churches. You won't hear 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John talk. That's mainly on being born again. And it's not, won't be taught. You won't have 1st Timothy, 2nd chapter preached, because that's all women in the church. You're not going to hear much out of 1st Corinthians, the 14th chapter either, because that's on tongues and women. A lot of others verses in there. They won't teach that verse or even bring that verse into being because they're teaching contrary to it. If you was to take out every verse of this Bible that most of our churches today will not preach, you'll find you ain't got much in the New Testament left. If you think that I'm telling you something that ain't so, we ain't got very far here in Galatians, have we? Let's just run back here. I don't like telling you things that I don't prove to you. Let's go back here to 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. Beginning here with the 9th verse. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. He even tells ladies how to dress. And he tells them better than what he's telling them here. But here, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. You see, it wasn't my word I was telling you. It was his. But he even gets stronger than that. Let's go over here, because I was telling you something, so I want to prove it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, 14th chapter. And we'll start here. Well, let's see. I'm going to start with about, verse 23, because, you see, we're not to forbid tongues being spoken in the church, but we are to see that it's controlled and done right. I believe in tongues. I speak with tongues. But tongues were given to mankind more or less for our own self-edifying. You go to a lot of your Pentecostal and your full gospel churches today, and they're jumping up all the time. The preachers are preaching, and two-thirds of the church jumping up and down, speaking in tongues. Uh-uh. Don't do it. God's word tells you no. Let's see. Right here in 23, we'll start with 23.
If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? You see, this reason he don't want you doing it. Because they will. Somebody comes in that maybe is looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're really looking, wanting to serve Jesus. They come into your church and they don't know anything about tongues or how it's supposed to work or nothing else. And everybody around is jabbering. They don't understand nothing being said. 9 times out of 10, they probably ain't going to sit down. They're going to leave. And they ain't going to come back. So he drove them away. And that's why he's sending you here. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convicted of all, he is judged of all, and thus are his secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, hath a tongue, and has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. That's why he tells us in the church to prophesy. In other words, speak in the known language. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. And that by course, in other words, one of them at a time, up to even three people can get up to do it. But if, and let one interpret. In other words, when they get through speaking, there should be one there that can interpret what they had said into the language. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Don't speak in tongues unless there's an interpreter in the church. That's God's word, not mine. Now, he goes on here in 29, says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, as in all churches of the saints, let your women keep silence in the church. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You won't hear that preached in very many churches today, because they, most all of our denomination churches today, accepts women pastors. And it's right there in God's word. We're told how to live. We're told how to walk. And going through, that's why I teach like I do. I teach book by book, chapter by chapter, and break it down verse by verse. Because I want you to know, that's why I tell most people they come. You know I do, James. I tell them, bring your Bible. Follow me. So you'll know that what I'm telling you is truth. that is coming, it is God's word, not mine, it's his. I didn't go to no seminary to learn their way of preaching. God gave me what I've got, and he still gives me what I've got. And a lot of times, I'll be sitting at home studying my Bible, and I'll think, well, you know, Lord, I'm going to preach on this tonight. Well, I'll wait. He won't tell me no. Okay. So I'll put it down, just like I did tonight on Galatians chapter 1, which I ain't there. And then I can get halfway to church, and he done changed it. That's why you don't see me like most preachers up here with a bunch of notes. Because I'm not the one going to do it. If you wait on me to do it, you'd be waiting a long time. It had to come out of this head. Because this head ain't that smart. But anyway, now, I'm going to go ahead and read down to verse 5, and we're going to stop there. Because all we've really dealt with in the book of Galatians is verse 1. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is his greetings. 5 verses of this letter is a greeting to that church. Because the churches in that day is like what we are facing today with our churches. They were all founded and established by the apostles. But the apostles, in moving from one place to another, they've established a church in Ephesus. They got that one going. They left the pastor there. Then they go to another place like Galatia, start another church there. And after they'd leave this one, they'd be those that would come in and tell them, well, yeah, you can live like Paul told you to live, but you've got to add, because you've got to be circumcised. Trying to bring them right back under the law. Because we're told in the Bible, if you keep one point of the law, religiously or spiritually, you are to keep it all. They couldn't do it, so what makes you think we can? Because if you can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you sure ain't going to keep that law. And you know what would happen to you today? They'd catch you out someplace burning a calf up. You'd be in jail for cruelty to animals. Because you'd have to make sacrifices and all. And they had a lot of that going on back then. That's things Paul was facing, and that's why most of these books were recorded. God working with Paul and through Paul to straighten these churches out. Now today, he's using men today trying to help to get mankind straightened out by them teaching his word the way it's written and letting people see you can do it. Jesus was a good example. Jesus lived, like I said, 33 and a half years here on this earth. The word tells us he was tempted in like manner as we are. In fact, Eve got tempted worse than we did.
Well, Satan tempted him just personally. He even took him up on the mountaintop and told him if he'd worship him, he'd give him all he could see from that mountain. Didn't work. When he went to the cross, he was still a man without sin. Mankind tells you today, church after church after church, and you know what I'm telling you so, because you go to a couple of them. They'll tell you, you can't live without sin in your life. I don't care the smallest sin going. Will send you to hell. You ain't to have no sin. Oh, no, no. That Bible don't tell you that. Now, I said I was going to close, but see, Spirit said no, not yet. So let's just go back here and see if I'm telling something that ain't so. Let's go back here to 1 John. Third chapter. Let's start here with verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him, every one of us that has the hope of salvation in us, in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now here's the first place. Well, it ain't the first place in the Bible, but here in this scripture, first place, he's telling you not to sin at all. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, we all know that you have to be born, reborn, and born of God if you're going to make heaven your home. Jesus, even when he was talking to Nicodemus, told him that. That no man can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, we have to be very careful. Because just walking and someone will do something to you, and you say, well, I hate that one. No, you can't do that. You've got to love that one. You've got to forgive that one. And you've got to pray for that one. Now, does it mean I've got to get out here and run around with them? No. Because if he's hurting people, no, you don't keep that kind of company. We are to keep our company with the people of Almighty God. Now, I'll talk to that one, and I'll give that one the Word of God, and try to help that one. But I can't get out and run around with him and do the things he's doing. You see, the Word of God is plain. It's all there.
but it takes time. And that's why we're to come together in the church, is to learn his word so that we know how to walk and know how to be that child of God. Because without knowing this word, there's no way you're ever going to make it. That's why even when you're called to preach, it takes time for you to become the preacher that God wants you to be. I know. I've been in the ministry 56 years now. But it took time for me to get where I am today with God. Because, and I was raised in the church. I was in church every time the church doors opened. Even days that mom and dad couldn't go. But we lived right close to the church. And if they couldn't go, I was sent because I could walk. But I was sure sent. And I didn't know a lot of things because I had been taught a lot of things that is contrary to this word. When I went into the ministry, we talk about it. Well, it shouldn't be hard. But God tells us. He says they persecuted me. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So we all know, you know, and expect it. But a lot of times we don't. Not the way we get it. Because usually it's your family. It's the first against you. When I went first, answered the call to preach, and I began preaching, because I wasn't preaching the denomination that I grew up in, my mother and dad did not talk to me for over a year. My brothers and sisters would laugh at me and mock me. Called me all kinds of things. Because I wasn't preaching that doctrine. I was preaching the Word of God. What they didn't realize, it wasn't me doing the preaching. Because I wasn't smart enough to preach. It was the Holy Spirit doing the preaching. But you know, on down the line, because when I wouldn't change, you know, some of them got to changing and looking at things. A few years later, I ordained my dad into a full gospel church as deacon. Same one that wouldn't talk to me for over a year. My brothers and sisters got them to where if they had something come up and they need a little counseling, I was the one they come to. God works everything out. But we have to be right with him. And we have to be doing what he wants us to do. We worry a lot of times about things that really is out of our hands. And really, it's nothing we should have been worried about to start with. But we do. And that's like with prayer. Most of us pray the wrong kind of prayer. I was on that this morning, by the way. I'll share that with you when we're going to shut up because I built you a little overtime. That ain't nothing new either, is it, Jake? Because I don't put the spirit off. But anyway, this is something that, now this is something else that God just gave me. Now I've been as guilty of it as anybody else. Praying wrongly. Well, how do you pray wrong? When you go to the Lord in prayer to ask him to do something for you,
You're wasting your time. Because he's already done it. Our prayers is to give him praise and to thank him for it and to receive what he's already gave us. That's why we can walk in divine health. We don't have to walk in sickness and disease. We do it because we've never been taught how to get healed. You get healed by believing God and his promise. And he told us. He said, by my stripes you are healed. He's already gave it. So we don't pray and ask him to give us something he's already gave to us. We accept it and believe that it's done and start thanking him for it. And you'll find somewhere along the way, it'll be gone. You won't even know when it left, folks, usually.
You just come to realize one day, you know that's gone. You don't even know where it left. But it's been done.
So, don't ask him to do things. That's another reason we need to know more. All the promises he made to us, he has already given. He put 9 spiritual gifts into the church. You find all 9 of them in the 12th chapter, the 1st Corinthians. I'm not going to go over them right now. I'll let you go home and read it. But you'll find all 9 of them, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. And he tells you, just exactly what he puts into the church. He put healing in it. He put wisdom in it. He put knowledge in it. He put miracles in it. He tells you all of this. He put different kinds of tongues in it. It's all there.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for a place and a time, Father, that we can come together to share your word so that we can grow. To grow in knowledge, to grow by the Spirit, and to grow as your child. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we do ask, Father, the Holy Spirit, go. Keep them safe. Keep them in health. And see to their needs. And, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. Because we know that right now, Father, they have no peace, really. But more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, this land of ours that has turned its back and walked so far away with no excuse, Father, whatsoever, only the wicked people that we have in leadership of our government, Father, and keep them quiet. They've walked so far away. They took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in. They don't even want him used in our prayers anymore. They took it. Father, they took him away from our military chaplains. They're not allowed to end their prayer in Jesus' name anymore. And Father, we know that this nation is standing in need of repentance. And if this nation will come together, work together, and repent, you would heal this land. Now, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with us. Help us to remove those from office that needs to be removed, and to replace them with ones that will work for the church work for the Lord Jesus Christ and work with us to help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now our prayer list, Father, as each name is spoken, I ask that the Holy Spirit will go and touch that one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, that little Full Gospel Church of Akron and the pastor, Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, these churches, I pray for them to become lighthouses to the community in which they stand and places of refuge to where the ones that are lost and walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Arun Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Because, Father, we know they are carrying your word into places, and some places to where, if they're caught, will mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello and her mother, Sue and David, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. So, Father, we're claiming that touch for them, that healing touch, that they are healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will accept it, Father, and stand in faith and see it done. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, Father, may the Holy Spirit work within our families. Work with those, Father, that are walking in darkness. Lead them out of that darkness and into light so that none be lost and all can find salvation and make heaven their home. Use this church, Father, and use me in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up before men to make anything of me, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that sweet, precious name, that name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, everyone. Remember, God willing, come Thursday night at 5 o'clock, we can all be together again and back into God's word. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night, all.